Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Had a great weekend. Was all over the place. Last night, I don't know about you, if you sat there from start to finish, like Senior Executive Vice President of Everything Eric Sorensen did of Sports360AZ, and you watched that Cardinal game from start to finish, I'm sorry. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. We're on White Mountain Radio, and we're on Twitter, of course, at Brad Sussmat. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. She will be with us here at the bottom of the hour. And then Albert Breer from the NFL Network, one of the best insiders around. Albert Breer will join us in St. Louis, live on the show. The latest Sam Bradford's injury and what quarterback is coming in at St. Louis and some of the news and notes. Cuts coming down today around the NFL. Albert Breer will be with us. A lot on my mind. Friday night, I did a soccer game for United SC, and that was fun. There's like 5,000 fans out there. Saturday night, I did a TV broadcast. Hadn't done TV play-by-play of football in a while, and it showed. I wasn't very good. I'd give myself, I don't know, a C-minus maybe. But the game was good. Arizona Christian playing Evangel. That was fun. And then the Cardinal game yesterday, which, you know, you make some notes. You see Jay Feely push the kick wide right, and you already knew that Jay Feely was on the hot seat. And today the Cardinals released Jay Feely. This has not come as a surprise. Jay is a very, very good guy, and he's been terrific for this organization through the years. But for the life of a kicker, while it didn't finish right in Arizona, Denver needs a kicker today. So there will be teams that need kickers. And Jay's not going to be, unless Jay just decides it's time to get into the broadcasting thing, because he'll be very, very good at that. It's not a surprise. Tiger Woods fired his swing coach this morning. I like that story quite a bit. And some other things as well. Eric, you were at the Cardinal game last night. Was that just, how would you sum up last night's Cardinals-Cincinnati preseason game?
Anticlimactic,
yeah.
I think, was the word that I described to some people in the press box. It was one of those games where you're excited because it's the big third preseason game where the starters are supposed to play a bunch. And you're supposed to really separate the contenders from the pretenders, at least for the preseason. And you had two quarterbacks that played not very good. And you had some missed tackles, and you had some issues and some special teams problems. And Jay Feely missed a field goal. And, well, you'll get to Jay Feely here in a little bit.
Yeah.
It got to the point. Now it's to the point, Brad, where it's like, let's just get to the regular season. Like, it's the first preseason game's exciting. Football's back. Mm-hmm. The second preseason game, okay, there's some storylines to watch. By the second half of the third preseason, you're like, all right, when are they going to start playing for real?
It's amazing that people just haven't figured that side out yet, that it's the most unwatchable side of sports that I can ever imagine. It's even worse than watching number 77 pitch to number 99 in March and you're paying to go see that. It's fine that people get their football fix that way.
Yeah, and the difference, Brad, is you mentioned spring training. You can go to a spring training game and pay $8 and sit out in the lawn.
Not anymore. It's gotten expensive.
Yeah, but those poor schleps that have to pay for Cardinal season tickets, I mean, you're paying $75, $80 a ticket to go see a bunch of guys that are going to end up on the street, as in, like, not
getting
on the
cut.
Street, but getting cut. Right.
Yeah. So there's quite a bit going on my mind, and let's get right to it. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top. It's in the beautiful White Mountains. We're off and running on another week, and this is a week where the holidays coming up, Labor Day weekend. Maybe you're thinking about sneaking out a little early, like Thursday afternoon, and head up to the White Mountains. You've got your cabin up there, right? You've got your summer home, and you're looking for some entertainment. You head over to the Honda Resort and Casino, and you play the slots, play some games, eat some food, have some fun. You could stay at the Honda Resort and Casino, too. You know, they've got great places to stay. Enjoy the weekend to get away with the Labor Day weekend coming up. Why not get out of the valley or around the state as you're taking in the show? Head up to the Honda Resort and Casino. Even those of you in the White Mountains that listen to us on White Mountain Radio, the Honda Resort and Casino, they've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one. Paula Bova, News and Notes, in about, 25 minutes. So the Cardinals did make their cuts today. The game last night, because most of the names that are on this cut list, most of you don't care. The names that you jump out at and you see, okay, so Jay Feely, that's not a surprise. Best of luck to Jay. I think Jay and his family are going to stay here. Ryan Lindley was cut today. That's not a surprise when they took Logan Thomas. So for those of you all wound up about the third-string quarterback, Ryan Lindley gets cut today. Max Starks gets cut at tackle. And Kevin Ozier, the former Sun Devil, was released today. And those are really the headline names of today. That caught my eye. Later in the show, we're going to have the least desirable team to play for in the National Football League as chosen by players. You know, surveys are low-hanging fruit. I try not to do too many of them, but when you have players say, which NFL team do we least desire to play for? The least desirable team. And when you hear the name of the team that is least desirable, there will be some of you that will be upset. It's not the Dallas Cowboys. Of course it's not. They never win, but they have a lot of dough. The least desirable, and 82 of the players out of the 100 who answered this survey had the same team. And this team is pretty popular. So we're going to have that as the show moves along and today. In terms of the game last night, I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting afterwards that Bruce Arians said that, and I wasn't there, but I heard it, that Larry Fitzgerald was the guy that ran the wrong route. How often do we hear Larry Fitzgerald singled out? That didn't happen very often. Here is Bruce Arians after last night's loss to Cincinnati in preseason play.
Things that stood out was obvious. We missed wide open guys down the field for touchdowns, which we've been hitting. And then we have a miscommunication on a route. Receiver should be breaking across the guy's face, and he went behind him, and it's a pick six. And, you know, those are things you learn from and move on, but they shouldn't happen at this time in camp.
Okay, and that receiver was Larry Fitzgerald. Fitz running a wrong route. Quarterback not making play. So he's singling out two of his leaders on the offensive end that they didn't get the job done. Here is Carson Palmer on last night's offense that was dreadful at best.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't the execution we were looking for. You know, we had a number of things that were just off, from overthrows to missed opportunities. You know, some funky things that happened on a couple routes and some drops.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Ted Larson, if I'm talking about a guard on the inside and how he played against Geno Atkins, and I'm really reaching and struggling, but that's what you end up doing on a Monday after a preseason game. There's nothing much that I took from that last night. Even the John Brown catch, it was a good catch. That's what I'll say on the John Brown catch. It was a good throw by Stanton.
And
that's about it.
It was interesting, Brad, not to interrupt you, but going back to what Carson Palmer just said in that bite, the difference between what Bruce Arians said and what Carson Palmer said in terms of Bruce Arians was just like, yep, we've got receivers running the wrong route, and Larry Fitzgerald didn't do his job. And then Carson Palmer, it's, well, I had some overthrows, and
sure. There
were some miscommunications, and it's just it's funny how the quarterback is going to protect his receivers. He's going to protect his offense. The head coach has no problem pointing the finger, even if it's to your star player.
Yeah, but here's the difference. So when it was Wiz here towards the end, I mean, even when Wiz was here in the beginning, in the middle, Wiz never really singled guys out. He never did. And he would get chippy if you're like, so who ran the wrong route? Well, we'll have to go back and look at the film. Now, Bruce just rolls in there and says, here's the deal. I don't care. This may be my only head. It's like what Peter King said to us last week. This may be Bruce's only shot at being head coach.
That's it.
So he's just going to be unfiltered, and it's fine. But
Arians has the respect of the players, but he also has the fear of the players, which
right.
is like the perfect storm if you're an NFL head coach. That's exactly what you want.
Well, it's what I want with this company. I mean, you know, I want you to just fear walking in here every day. Just, oh my gosh, this is all going to, you don't screw up every day.
Yeah, we've had days like that, but.
We've had weeks, months.
Yeah, we've had days like that.
You kidding me? Here is John Brown. For those of you all excited about John Brown from Pittsburgh State, this is how it works. You grab onto a rookie and you hope that he does something in camp. John Brown's done some nice things in camp. There's no question about it. I'm not going to sit here and poo-poo it. But if I'm talking about John Brown getting into the end zone with the backups in the second half, and I'm not talking about a crisp offensive output in the first half, you know, I'm reaching and grasping here for straws a little bit to try to give you something positive. The offense was not good last night. Let's just leave it at that, because they're not going to play on Thursday against San Diego. So what we saw last night, was not good. Here's John Brown on getting into the end zone.
You know, coach called go route, and, you know, I seen the defensive back playing up and the safety on the other side of the field. So I just knew for sure it was coming to me. And, like, when I looked up, I seen the ball in there, and I knew I had to get it.
And he did. It was a very good play. I watched the Charger game yesterday afternoon against San Francisco. Man, the 49ers are awful. Going back to the Peter King segment, and Peter is going to be with us every week on this show starting after the first week of games. Every Tuesday, Peter King with SI and Monday Morning Quarterback is part of our program. And Peter brought up a team that he was concerned about coming into this weekend was the San Francisco 49ers. Watching them yesterday, they weren't good. Watching what happened in St. Louis over the weekend with Sam Bradford, and we'll go live to St. Louis, Albert Breer from the NFL Network in about 40 minutes, not good. What's happened here with the Arizona Cardinals with the Darnell Dockett injury, even though there's some, they're trying to soft sell that. No, you can't. That's a big deal, no matter how you try and soft sell it. I'm not going to take too much out of what happened in last night's game from the defensive front. John Abraham was in pretty early. So they're still trying to work through some things on that side of the football. Bottom line is, are they ready to play the San Diego Chargers in the season opener on Monday Night Football? Sure didn't look like it last night. It certainly didn't look like it. On the other side, I'm going to step out a little earlier because on the other side, fantasy football is what drives the NFL. Let's not kid each other. You may say you're a big Cardinal, but most of you guys watching, most of you dudes, are caught up in fantasy football. One state today has taken a big step forward on fantasy football and to outlaw it today. And that's bad news for the NFL. It's bad news for CBS Sports and Yahoo and others. I'm going to talk about that on the other side. Plus, Tiger Woods today fired his swing coach and the least desirable team among NFL players to play for. That's all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Finally, game week on the college football front. Brad Sussmat, sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're on White Mountain Radio, and we're on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, Paul Abova, News and Notes, in about 10 minutes. And then we will have Albert Breer with the NFL Network joining us from St. Louis live at about 10:50 with the Sam Bradford injury. Fantasy football is what drives the NFL. There's gambling. We'll have Jimmy Vaccaro on starting this Friday on all things college and pro football related. There's college, and then there's the pro side of it. And it's either gambling on the games or your fantasy football teams. If you've noticed through the years, fantasy football was kind of viewed as this, we're really not into this. This is kind of for nerds, dweeds, Star Wars fans, that sort of deal. Well, it's changed. And now wherever I noticed the NFL was like 5 years ago. Remember, Eric, where they had these like little computer things that they'd hand to you and you could keep track of your fantasy team while you're sitting in your seat and how cool this is.
Yeah, it showed you like 15 different replays of the game too.
And that kind of went by the wayside.
Yeah,
and nobody did that.
It's disappointing. It was cool.
Couldn't keep up with the phones and that's where everything is going. Everything's going to a phone. It's not going over a radio or through a TV necessarily. It's all going through your phone. If you lose your phone, you're lost. Well, now fantasy football has just overtaken the NFL. There's no fantasy football. The appeal of the NFL is not nearly as great. There's no denying that. They can try however they want. There's no denying it. A state today is taking steps to outlaw fantasy football, which is not good news for Yahoo, CBS, and more importantly, the National Football League. Earlier this month, Yahoo, CBS, ESPN, and the NFL all started up pay-to-enter fantasy football contests that allowed residents of the state of Kansas to win prizes. Pretty soon, each of these leading fantasy football providers may not find themselves in Kansas anymore because the Kansas Gaming and Racing Commission just updated their frequently asked questions about the legality of fantasy sports.
Sometimes these jokes just tell themselves. We're not in Kansas anymore.
The new language on this topic says that if a fantasy sports league has a buy-in, no matter what it's called, and gives a prize, then all three elements of an illegal lottery are satisfied in the state of Kansas. Kansas Gaming Racing Commission's new language seems to place the pay-to-enter fantasy football games hosted by Yahoo, CBS, ESPN, and even the NFL on the wrong side of the line. This is not the first time this has happened in Kansas. The Kansas Gaming and Racing Commission has expressed its concerns before. Language proclaiming that most fantasy sports contests are illegal. It just means you go offshore, right? But the bottom line is, the commission has removed the language from its website. They did this back in 2012 so that there was not a stoppage of play in the 2012 fantasy season. Now it comes back, and Kansas stands as one of 13 states with an elevated risk of operating fantasy football contests. So it's kind of like the Arizona Lottery. You know, they don't want to have these fantasy leagues there. Many of the largest fantasy sports providers believe that it is a manageable risk to keep going. Like DraftKings currently blocks participants in Arizona. You can't do it if you're here in Arizona for DraftKings. FanDuel, you can't do it if you're here in Arizona. CBS, you can't do it if you're here in Arizona. Got to go up to Las Vegas. Got to go get a number elsewhere. Have you tried doing any of these leagues here in Arizona?
I have not.
I don't really have an interest in doing those daily leagues yet.
Me neither.
That seems like...
it's too much time, and it's just...
We're probably the wrong demo. I mean,
yeah,
you're probably looking for like a 21-year-old, you know? I mean, it's one thing if you're picking stocks and sitting at home watching CNBC at 5 in the morning and you just lay around all day. It's another if I'm going to get up and I'm going to choose my FanDuel team today and I'm going to sit there and watch my FanDuel team and I'm going to do a daily game.
And stock traders can make a living doing it. I don't know if you can make a living playing fantasy.
Well, they have these guys. They have these guys, Eric, in these commercials that say, yeah, so-and-so made 50 grand by sitting around and playing this fantasy team. I've not gotten that far into it, but I do know here in our state that this is becoming a big deal, right? So you've got CBS, FanDuel, and DraftKings. Don't let people in Arizona, Louisiana, Iowa, Montana, and Washington play. Yahoo does not allow Arizona in, but they've also added Vermont. I have no idea why that would be. By contrast, many of the newer and less known websites for fantasy do a far better job of hedging for the legal risk in all 13 states, meaning that they're a part of it. But the big boys continue to look at our state, and now Kansas is jumping in on this. I bring this up simply because when you start to have things, this is not about whether you can walk around with guns or not. When you start to have freedoms taken away from you, because people don't believe that having fantasy sports is right or that it's illegal in our state, where is it going to end and will it spread? And while we have all this wild popularity with fantasy sports right now, and the NFL is cognizant of it, did you see all the penalties last night on defensive backs for like breathing on wide receivers? I mean, they know that the more the scoring there is, the more the fantasy world will be driven, the better it is for business. So it's even falling down into the rules of the game and the integrity of the game.
It's been an ugly trend this preseason. The number of not only defensive penalties, but just the number of whole penalties as a league just slowing. Like last night's game, Brad, I know no one likes to hear about length of game, especially in Major League Baseball. But last night's Cardinals-Bengals game, I understand it's a national television game. 3 hours and 20 some odd minutes, just it's too long. The games are taking too long, and that's with a really short 10-minute halftime. So I don't know what the deal is, but one of them is penalties.
Well, but here's the thing. Last night's game was nothing more than NBC bringing their crew out and saying, let's do a test for the Super Bowl.
And they were all over the press box. You had people with NBC
that's
polos
all that was.
On, looking and pointing and walking around
that's
the concourse.
All it was.
And,
let's put on a preseason game that... you know, they rolled out their open at 5 o'clock and they came out and said, yeah, we have a game and here's the kickoff and here we go. And let's take some shots and we're going to do a test market on this. And the people that want to pay to watch this stuff, that's their problem. Yeah, but the fantasy side of it, I feel like fantasy is what is driving it. Fantasy baseball takes way too much time. I don't see that being nearly as popular. Same thing with fantasy baseball or fantasy basketball. Fantasy basketball, that's a daily thing. I know next Tuesday I am debating, heavily debating getting on a plane after the show to head out for the 22nd annual fantasy draft of a team that I've been a part of since all the way back in San Diego. And I know this weekend I saw it all over social media, people going to their fantasy football drafts. That's the deal. That's never interested me in basketball. It's never interested me in baseball. If fantasy football were to go away, a large portion of people, if you believe that, well, I'm just there to watch what goes on between the Bengals and the Cardinals. No, you're not. You're there to see how your fantasy team does.
And there's an additional buildup now. Not only do people get excited for Sundays to watch the NFL, now there's even more of a vested interest because you have all these players on all these different teams around the league that are on your fantasy team. And if you're playing for money, there's always, you know, it's something else to gravitate towards on the weekend.
Now, our guy Michael Fabiano, he comes on the show and you just see it. Boom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it is.
The best in the business.
And, you know, he's been doing it for 3 years with us, and there's a reason. I had people said, oh, you're doing fantasy sports. Turn your nose up. Yeah, you know what? I'm actually not going to do blocking and tackling and third string left tackles because nobody cares. Paula Bovin's going to join us on the other side. One other thing, though, before we get to the break. The Tiger Woods story is really interesting to me today. So he fired a swing coach today. Tiger Woods and his swing coach, Sean Foley, have parted ways. So Sean Foley was this guy that revamped Tiger Woods' swing. He started working with Tiger in 2010. If you remember, when he started working with Tiger in 2010, Tiger fell all the way to 58th in the world. And then he won 9 tournaments, didn't win any majors, but then Tiger's back started acting up. The violence of the swing of Tiger Woods is what's been talked about. That Foley taught Tiger a swing concept called stack and tilt. In the method of stack and tilt, Tiger keeps his weight centered instead of shifting towards the right foot during the backswing. In the follow-through, his torso flexes, his spine tilts. The idea is to keep the player balanced, simplifying the golf swing. Sounds very good if you can visualize it. But the facts are, whether it's Tiger Woods just getting old from all these years, the torque on his back has sent him to the sideline. So Tiger blows out his coach today in Sean Foley. There hasn't been a naming of a replacement yet. How many guys are going to just walk right in and say, I am the guy to fix Tiger Woods? This is going to be the story that we will. It's kind of like when Peyton Manning had his neck surgery. Who's doing this surgery on Peyton Manning? You want to see who is the person that can actually try to revive the career of the greatest golfer in the modern era, bar none. And so I'm very interested to see what happens now that Tiger Woods said, hey, Sean, you're out. Paula Bovin's next on the other side, sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. By the way, if you're just joining us here on a Monday morning, you've been busy. Over the weekend, our staff was out in a big way. We've got a very large high school platform and college football platform. Really cool concepts and stories and ideas and collaborations that's on sports360az.com. Stay with us.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at sports360az. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend Paula Bovin, joins us now for a couple of minutes. Are you concerned about the Cardinals after watching that last night, or is it simply, Brad, come on, it's August 3rd preseason game?
More the latter. I think, you know, some of the things that happened on offense, you know, the different lack of connections. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble talking today, Brad. The mixed sort of signals with quarterback and wide receiver. Why are you running the wrong route? Kind of things. I know that happens, but Carson Palmer had just looked so on, and so that part was a little bit bizarre. But I think you have to judge him on his body of work, and when I say that, I mean from late last season, what he did this offseason, the first two preseason games, and not let that third game define him. So,
did you find it interesting that Arian singled out, you know, Fitz ran the wrong route, or is that just no big deal and that's just Bruce being Bruce?
You know, that is interesting. I thought about it. I think for the most part, it's him. because he's very transparent, and he calls guys out no matter who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's maybe protecting his quarterback a little bit. But that was interesting, and it jumped out at me too. But I think it's more just Arian being who he is, which is, you know, I'm not afraid to criticize anybody kind of guy.
I mean, I thought, I just thought they were awful last night on the offensive end. But it's one of these things where if I'm being told that, by the way, this doesn't count,
mm-hmm.
and if I'm Carson Palmer, Drew Stanton's not beating me out. The human element takes over. Larry Fitzgerald's not going to be beaten out by anybody. So to try to stay focused and to do your job, which goes back to the nonsense of, and I know in the media end, this is the time of year where we whine and cry, let's just get on to the next game. And until fans just stop showing up to this stuff,
right,
then it's just going to continue. And it's their loss, but... And the owners will laugh all the way to the bank on this. I don't take anything too much out of last night other than they got out of it healthy, which is the old narrative. I think they're going to be pretty good. I don't think they're going to be great. I don't think that they're a playoff team. I think they're right there on the fringe of battling with St. Louis on the back end of things. I think that as the season progresses, it's only natural you're going to lose some guys.
Right.
You know, the Fitz thing is interesting to me. I had somebody in Denver that sent me a note this morning. A fan up there, just, you know, we're going to lose Welker and we don't know what's going to happen with Welker and what's going to happen with Fitz down there and his future. And, you know, this big contract number. And do you ever think, and there's going to be all sorts of scenarios that are thrown around. But as they finish up camp here, I don't look at what we have here in Arizona at the end of August as a product that's going to be good enough to make it to play. I know that was the narrative last night. The Cardinals would love to be playing here in February. I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
That part, I mean, it's a fun little storyline to talk about, but when you've suffered the losses that they have on defense and, you know, you have some young players in key positions, it's hard to see. I will say I thought their protection was pretty good for the offensive line, and I think that's going to be huge for this offense this season. I was fairly impressed, and again, it's hard to know in preseason. You're not always facing the number one offenses, but I thought their run blocking was pretty good. I'm concerned about their ability to rush the passer, though, especially in this league and in this division and with the type of quarterbacks that are around. That could be problematic. They're going to need to score a lot of points.
News and notes, Paula Bovinese, Central Sports columnist. Jay Feely gets released. This is not a surprise. Do you think that Jay Feely is done in the NFL? You talked with him and did that piece last week. Think he's done?
No, I mean, I think there are teams already, you know, facing situations, kickers getting suspended, things like that.
Denver,
where
right.
They need, you know, he may be a temporary replacement. When teams are trying to sign kickers, to see someone who's been in the league and has had as much success as he has, that's a pretty comfortable feeling, and I know that he hasn't looked as great and as sharp, and he's an older kicker, and he missed the 48-yarder yesterday. Bottom line, he's won a lot of games. He's handled the pressure. He's still got a lot in him, so I think an opportunity is going to come to him. It may be short-term solution, but I don't think he's done.
I don't know him inside now, but I see him and his family in circles out where I live, and he's got a lot more going than just football. I mean, he can go, he could write for you. He could,
right.
I mean, he could do something on the national level.
Sure.
He could do some stuff for us. I don't know. But my point on that is I think he's probably one of those guys that you take a breath, get away for a day or two, the phone's going to ring and people are going to ask him to come back. Speaking of, so the Rams, and we're going to go to St. Louis here in about 15 minutes with the NFL Network, but the Rams reportedly called Brett Favre.
Oh my gosh.
So, if they called Brett Favre, wouldn't you think they would call Kurt Warner?
Ah, that's funny. I can't imagine, I mean, either of those things being serious. Brett Favre has not been in great shape when I've seen him do interviews. I mean, he's even addressed it. And while I think Kurt, unless I'm wrong, has made it very clear that he has no interest in returning to the NFL, although he looks like he's in good shape and could probably do some good things, I think, you know, living a healthy life, and he's got a great gig going on right now with the NFL Network. He's in demand a lot. So I can't see either of those things happening. But Favre, really?
No, I know.
That one
I know.
Surprises me.
I know. And I'm trying to clear it up, too, with we'll have Albert Breer here in about 10 minutes. But,
sure.
But, you know, how much validity is there to that? So on the Cardinals end of things, we're just kind of in a holding pattern here. Let's switch over to ASU. We were at their kickoff luncheon on Friday. A lot of optimism. Man, they talk. I feel bad for Taylor Kelly because there's so much made out of Taylor Kelly. And Jeff Van Rapphorst, a great analyst, was up on stage. And he said, you know, we're at a stage now where people are going to talk about Taylor Kelly. They don't talk about Jake or Jeff anymore.
Right.
That he's really taken it by storm. Paula, you've been here 20 plus years, just like myself. Where would you put Taylor Kelly coming into this season of quarterbacks at ASU?
You know, I think that storyline still needs to be written. I mean, I think I've been so impressed at his growth since he's been here. I think this coaching staff has done a good job of developing him. And, you know, credit to Dennis Erickson's staff for recognizing his talents when a lot of other universities didn't. So I've seen this great talent, this, you know, his ability to extend plays with his legs are really impressive. But I don't know if he's necessarily delivered on the big stage on a consistent basis. And that's why I don't think yet you can mention him in the same breath as sort of a Jake Plummer, guys like that, because I think, and he's the first to admit it, there have been times, I think, you know, you're playing a Stanford that he hasn't done what the team has needed him to do. And that's not to say he's not a great quarterback, but I think his story still needs to be written, and there's a chapter that needs to be finished, and that'll be this season, because they have some, you know, how many, what, top, maybe five games with top 20, 25 teams?
Sure.
So I think that's going to be his true measure.
It's interesting. My understanding is, and I've heard this from a number of places in the athletic department, that Steve Patterson and Todd Graham did not talk to one another in the remaining, like the last part of last year, before Steve Patterson left, that their relationship fell apart. And I've heard that from too many people to not believe it. And I see how Ray Anderson works with Todd Graham. And I think Thursday night, when their fans that go into the stadium for the first time and see how it's opened up, doesn't matter that it's Weber State, doesn't matter.
Right.
The facts are that I think the athletic department is on really good ground right now in a span of 3 years ago when the Vontaze thing fell apart and Dennis and the coaching search, that starting this Thursday night, this could be the boom time for Arizona State Athletics to really recapture the marketplace.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's really interesting what you said about Patterson. And I think I've told you in the past, I was never able to sort of connect with him.
Right.
You know, right. And I don't know, I think, and I could see it with Graham now that you're saying it. I mean, now you have an AD who is an athlete. And while he was also an agent and very successful in the business world, he's been immersed in football as a player, you know, as an athletic director now. Patterson was kind of a business guy. And so, I could see where that might go a different direction. But you're right. I mean, I think they're in really good shape now that the university is spending money. They seem like they're doing a better job with fundraising. A lot of that, I think, has to do with Graham's willingness to go out there and shake hands and kiss babies and everything else. All this stuff is sort of important for the university's growth, that they're, you know, they've got to find the funding, I think, more funding for the stadium project. But I think they're in a good place, and certainly the marketplace is intrigued and interested in ASU again in a not so indifferent way. I sense a lot more passion than I've felt in many, many years with this program.
Well, the kickoff luncheon on Friday, if that's any indication, I've been at these through the years.
Sure.
That thing can be just painful.
Right.
just death. Like, this team's going to win four, all right?
Right.
This room was packed on Friday, and it was packed with a lot of fresh money and interesting young faces.
Wow.
That are business. Yeah. It was not the same. It was almost like strategically, and I don't know this as facts, almost like strategically ASU may have said, you know, we're going to have another club for those of you that are been here that are doing it. I saw a lot of fresh young faces and young CEOs that were in the audience, and which is good, which is what they need. On the field, though, do you see a team that is able to go repeat what they did last year? I know we're going to say, well, the defense has a lot of question marks, but I think when you talk about college sports around the conference, it's just an injury here or an injury there away from either being a really big season or a season of misery and discontent.
No, there's no question. But you know what? I think I'm more optimistic than some people with ASU. I could certainly see them matching what they did last year, if not even taking another step. And I know that sounds crazy with, you know, true freshmen in the starting lineup. But I really think, if you judge Graham on what he's done each year, he's found a way to make this program better. He's got a lot of his recruits in. I think all the defense, starting defense, are now his recruits, mm-hmm. about three-quarters of the offense. I think we're also going to learn a lot about him, you know, what kind of recruiters that these coaches are on this staff. But he just seems to be able to get this team ready and these players ready, and I think a lot of those young guys are really talented. And, you know, good thing they have maybe a few games early on where they can work out some of the kinks, but I'm impressed. I'm impressed with what he's done, and I'm giving him sort of the benefit of the doubt, even though there's a lot of young players on this roster.
Who wins more this year, U of A or ASU on the football field?
ASU. I think Rich Rodriguez is a great coach. I just think, you know, when you lose a really, really good running back like they have, and they have this uncertainty at quarterback, that is a hard hurdle to overcome, and it takes a little while to get those things sorted out. So I give ASU the edge as far as victories this season.
What else is on your mind around town? What else are you seeing? What are you working on?
Well,
I'm
fascinated where this Bledsoe thing is heading. I mean, every day I listen to someone and it sounds more like a sign and trade is the direction versus getting this guy on board. And I just can't believe how this has happened. I mean, it boggles my mind that Bledsoe is a guy and, you know, is surrounded by people who are expecting a lot more than what the Suns were offering. It's amazing to me.
But you know how this is going to turn out, Paula? This is how it'll go. They'll trade him, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter if it's you and I they get back in exchange. It will be, we couldn't believe he was available. And then he'll pull some people's, we're going to be better than what we were with him. And there's going to be that spin that comes out of the Suns, because this has not been, Bob Young referred to it over at AZ Central, and I've talked about it a little bit. This has not been a good summer. It doesn't matter how the Suns try and spin this. This has been a bad summer. It's been a step back. When PJ Tucker gets nailed for what he did off the court, and the organization hid that, the Bledsoe thing, how that's turned out, this whole narrative of, well, you have to give Ryan credit for going and chasing LeBron and going and chasing Kevin Love. And then it comes out Friday that they chase Kevin Love again. That's a desperation story.
Right.
There's just nothing. Yeah, we've had some great young picks. That's fine. But this has been a step back this summer. I don't see any other way you can spin it.
Well, and you know, along that line, it's always been in the back of my mind with this Bledsoe situation. Had there been enough sort of bonds and relationships formed, whether it's with management, whether it's creating the right environment, you know, could this have been prevented? And I don't know if that's fair, because it really sounds like he's asking too much and he has an agent and other people in his ear. But could there have been something more the Suns could have done to prevent this from happening? That's always going to be a question in the minds of fans. So,
let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight as always.
All right. Good talking to you, Brian.
You too. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. On the other side, we go to St. Louis. Albert Breer with the NFL Network. Albert joins us live, probably dodging live shots back there. So we'll try and catch up with Albert Breer on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For Sam personally, it's devastating. The news was devastating to him this morning, as you can appreciate. Anyone that's gone through that procedure and the rehab understands, and to have it happen, again within the calendar year is very, very difficult.
A lot of buzz among Cardinal fans about what happened over the weekend in St. Louis. You hate to see that. Sam Bradford goes down. Could that be the landing spot for Jameis Winston or Brett Hundley or Marcus Mariota next year? A lot of buzz about what the direction that the Rams are going to go. And with the Cardinals' miserable showing last night and this worthless preseason game, let's switch gears then and talk about something of more substance, and that is in St. Louis. Albert Breer, national reporter with the NFL Network. Always good to have Albert on the show with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. All right, big picture, what do you make out of this whole Bradford thing, Albert?
Well, I think in the short term, they stick with Sean Hill. And the idea when they brought Sean Hill in was to have a guy to keep him afloat if there was an injury. Obviously, that happened. But you know, I think the grander plan of the Rams here going into this year was to build a team that would win the way that Jeff Fisher's old Titan teams would win. They knew there was a possibility that Sam Bradford was going to be just some percentage of what he'd been in the past based on what happens with guys coming off of ACLs. And so they really built the team around the running game and the defense, around Zach Stacy, obviously that great young defensive line they had. And, you know, they built a team that doesn't need the quarterback to be outstanding all the time to contend. And so I think they believe Sean Hill's good enough to do that. Now, I mean, when you're talking about the long term, that's a whole different story. And I think that's where, you know, internally they know that this blows up everything at the quarterback position for them. And because of Sam Bradford's contract, it's going to create a major decision point when we get out of this season, because he's on the books for almost $13 million in cash in 2015. You know, he's going to be carrying a cap number of about $16.5 million, and they can cut him really without much of a repercussion. So, you know, I think that this obviously clouds their future big time at the quarterback position. But I'd say for right now, you know, obviously their thoughts are with Bradford, and, you know, they plan on going forward with Hill. And I think that, you know, over the next few days, they'll stick with that, and they'll probably go into week one with Hill. If there is a place where they could address it, if it doesn't look right in the first few weeks of the season, they're fortunate that their bye is in week four. So that will give them an opportunity to reevaluate.
Well, what do you think personally on this one, Albert, with Hill? You really think he can lead an NFL team week in, week out?
You know, I think their defense is, I think the Rams defense really is, and guys, it seems like everybody in the NFC West has a defense like this. It really looks like it's on the verge of becoming really good.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at the pieces that they have there, you know, and Laurinaitis at linebacker, and Ogletree at linebacker, and Jenkins at corner, and then the defensive line, of course, they're going to be starting four first-round picks up front with Brockers and Quinn and Donald and Long. And you see where they've got a team that could shorten games, you know, and a team that could really kind of drag other teams into a dark alley and turn everything into a fist fight. And Jeff Fisher, you know, for all the ups and downs that he's had in his career, has always been able to find a way to manage the quarterback position. You know, you go back and you look at even when he was with Houston. I mean, they won with Chris Chandler, I think, way back when. Obviously, McNair was a really good player for him. They changed things for Vince Young when he came in. You know, he's been able to win with a number of different quarterbacks, so he knows how to manage these types of situations. And I don't think that the Rams are going to the Super Bowl, but you know, I'm not sure how much worse off they are with Sean Hill. Now, that's not saying long term, but just in the short term, knowing that Bradford was coming off of an ACL and knowing how their team's constructed, I don't know how much, you know, how much worse they're going to be. Now, again, in the long term, it's a totally different story, you know,
sure.
And obviously creates a major, major problem for them going forward. And, you know, you threw out some of those names. I would expect that they're very much going to be the quarterback market, both in the draft and free agency next year.
Yeah. Albert Breer with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Always good to catch up with Albert, national reporter, NFL Network. He is in St. Louis today and joins us for a couple of minutes. If we move from St. Louis over to San Francisco, starting to hear quite a bit of concern about how the 49ers haven't looked good at all. And do you make anything out of that? Is there something beneath the surface in San Francisco, Albert?
Well, I would say this. There's a lot going on there. And I history tells us that eventually, and I think the last couple of years has been the case, you know, it's really easy to look at the two conferences and pencil in the four teams that we had last year for the Final Four. You know, it's going to be Denver, New England, San Francisco, and Seattle again. So, you know, I think of those four teams, the one that could, that's got like the trickiest waters to navigate, I think, is San Francisco. You know, they're probably not going to have Alden Smith at the start of the season. We're still waiting for final word on that. One of their best defensive players, Navarro Bowman, isn't going to be out there at the beginning of the year. They're going to be asking more of Colin Kaepernick, so there's some transition there. Their tailback that they built their offense around is getting older. And Carlos Hyde is going to jump in there. They've got Alex Boone holding out right now, and that can affect their offensive line. And then, oh, by the way, there's all this stuff with Jim Harbaugh going on.
Yeah.
You know, and so I feel like there's you know, a minefield in front of them. Now, 2011, 12, 13, they've shown that they've been able to deal with everything. They've been able to handle everything, and they've done a nice job changing the standard around there. I think this is about as challenging a situation as they've had. Having been in the conference championship 3 years in a row, You know, you're looking at a team that's got a lot of hurdles ahead of it, and everybody in there is going to have to earn their paychecks this year. And the other thing is, I mean, the Harbaugh thing isn't going to go away. Short of a contract extension, I mean, this is something that's, whether they like it or not, it's going to come up when college coaches start getting fired in October and November, and we start seeing the writing on the wall with some NFL teams in November and December. You can expect that Harbaugh is going to be linked to jobs left or right, whether that's legitimate or not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Dallas stuff a year ago, and we heard that, and there's just always something, it feels like, going on up in San Francisco over the last year. And that takes us over to here in Arizona, where Darnell Dockett's out and the organization has said, you know, we'll move forward, we'll be fine. They're saying all the right things about it. Boy, I know he wasn't the player now that he was 5 years ago. No one is in this league, but I don't think it's been a very good camp out here in that regard. The Abraham situation, the back end's pretty strong. Matthew's back. What do you make out of the Cardinals yourself?
Well, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, a lot of things went right for him last year. You know, that's not to say Bruce Arians didn't do an outstanding job. He did. He put back 10 wins after the way that the season ended in 2012. There's no question. You know, I think what you're seeing now, and based on some of the names you throw out there, obviously dealing with Honey Badger coming back off of the injury, what percentage of, we talked about Bradford, the percentages, what percentage of the player he was before is he going to be?
Right.
You know, obviously Dockett being out for the year doesn't help. You know, I think you're going to see more on the offense now to produce, you know, and this is, you're going to have to kind of shift your identity a little bit. And I think we all know what Michael Floyd can be. We've seen what Larry Fitzgerald is, and everybody knows what the potential for John Brown is. And so, I think what you're seeing is a team where it's going to have to be a little bit more reliant on the offense, and they're probably going to have to score a little more than they did last year, where I think last year's team was a little bit more reliant on defense. So, You change your identity a little bit, I think, as it goes. And how much does Carson Palmer have left? Is he capable of doing that? You know, and being able to kind of load a team on his back and having, you know, the Cardinals in a position where they can hang their hat on their running game or in their passing game. To me, it's just like you look at it, and the good coaches, the good teams can kind of change their identity as they go along and change the way that they do things as they go along based on the strength of their team. And to me, that's where the challenge is for the Cardinals based on some of the circumstances that really aren't their fault, you know, that they're dealing with now. That's the challenge for the coaching staff going into the year. And you know, at the very least, I think the good news for them is some of these things happening now. Now, you never want some of those things, the Abraham thing, the Dockett thing, you don't want those things to happen ever. But sometimes when they happen at the beginning of the year, it gives you a little bit more time to adjust. You just hope you don't have more coming down the road.
Last question for Albert Breer. Let him go. National reporter, NFL Network. Where do you think this Larry Fitzgerald contract bonus contract situation ends up in the next few months? Do you think it's in the next year? Do you think he's going to finish his career as a Cardinal?
You know, I think so much of it's going to be dependent on, on, you know, his willingness to take less. You look at, and there are certain contracts that are like this around the NFL. You know, you look at how they've invested the position. I mean, the Cardinals have leverage here, you know, and they have the ability to say, well, we've got Michael Floyd, we've got John Brown, and we've rebuilt that position now. You know, I know this. There are plenty of teams who have prepared to lose superstars in situations like this. And the Cardinals have put themselves in a position where they do have some leverage, and they are able to say, let's rework this deal. And, you know, I think a lot of it's going to come down to how much Larry Fitzgerald wants to finish his career in Arizona. You know, it's a little bit similar to Darrelle Revis. If you look at Larry Fitzgerald's history, his history is that he's always taken top dollar, and he and his agent have always been able to leverage the best deal, whether it was as a rookie or his second contract. They've always been able to kind of get the best deal and get the most money. The question is now, are they willing to leave a little bit on the table so he can finish his career as a Cardinal and be the type of guy who could have a statue built out of outside of a stadium for him? You know, really only Larry knows that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what it comes down to is, you know, as he moves into his 30s and kind of goes into the back nine of his career, what does he want out of it? He's the only one who can answer that, and I think that'll dictate the way all goes.
It's a really interesting story out here. I mean, that's the side story to this whole season. Hey, Albert, I appreciate your time as always. We'll let you go off that. Thanks.
You got it.
Albert Breer, a national reporter with the NFL Network. Always good to catch up with Albert Breer on Sports360AZ.com. if you have not been over to the site this weekend, maybe you're out running around and doing stuff, that's cool. Our site, we are very organic. We do a lot of things on the college front, a lot of things on the high school front, and on the pro front as well. We're more into telling the stories than who won and who lost. Five key things that we see here, five thoughts there. There's plenty of content up. Our high school platform this weekend just exploded because it was the first weekend of high school. College this weekend, really moving forward, and on the pros as well. So you can check it out, sports360az.com. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I had myself a busy weekend running around on Friday, was doing a couple of business meetings, heading out to Peoria for a broadcast. And on Saturday night, it was heading downtown to Phoenix to do a broadcast. Yesterday, it was doing errands, running around as I do with my family. And I do it in the Ford Fusion. Ford Fusion makes a lot of sense for me from Santan Ford. It's the 2014 Ford Fusion. I've already rolled up 25,000 miles on that bad boy. That's how much I'm on the go. I don't just sit around and watch life go by. I like to go, be with my family, be with my kids, do business, run around, do events. And the Fusion makes a ton of sense for me. As soon as I'm done here today, it's off to a lunch, speaking engagement this afternoon, doctor's appointment later today. You know, it's a vehicle that makes a lot of sense for me. How about you? Can you talk about your vehicle with that sort of confidence? Stop on into Santan Ford. Check it out yourself. That's at Santan Ford. You need that car. You need that truck. General Manager Tim Hovick, big supporter of all the sports teams in the Valley and a big part of Sports360AZ.com. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, I'm Brad Sussmat.